Hello, welcome to A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. So it's been a while, but I'm back and better than ever, so hopefully you'll enjoy today's show, which first I'll be looking at Gareth Edwards' reboot of the 1954 film Godzilla, and then we'll be looking at the latest installment of Marvel's X-Men series, X-Men Days of Future Past. And of course, I'll be giving you my film of the week. Hopefully I've come up with a nifty little number for you there. And of course, get involved in the conversation by going to facebook.com/theboatbegins. Otherwise, sit back, relax, and enjoy A Bigger Boat Presents Tyler's Film Review. As you know, that can only mean one thing. Godzilla, the reboot of the 1954 original by Gareth Edwards. And you may remember a few weeks ago, I did a podcast about films with high and low expectations. I was talking about films I was really looking forward to go see. And Godzilla has been one of them since I first saw the advert quite a while back, months ago. That I've really been looking forward to going to. So I went and caught it like last week. Those of you who follow my Facebook page will know that, and will know that, you know, have an idea of generally how I feel about it already. But yeah, so Godzilla, the 2014 reboot, as I said, directed by Gareth Edwards, and the film's primary characters following Aaron Taylor Johnson, obviously known from Kick-Ass, Bryan Cranston, and Elizabeth Olsen are probably the three main characters within this film. So a bit of synopsis about it. The film's really, you know, based around the idea, and opens up on the idea, talking a lot about, you know, nuclear fallout and gives a history and links Godzilla very much into warfare, essentially. And as you know, if you've seen the 1954 original, it's Godzilla is very much uses a metaphor for the equivalent of nuclear fallout, as I say. So the film's very much based around that, showing lots of old style videos of new things like Hiroshima and stuff like that, and the idea is that actually those bombs, you know, they're cover ups. They're used against these large types of creatures, and of course the world doesn't know about this and is not very aware. So fast forward however many years to Bryan Cranston, you know, at his home, and him and his wife work in a factory, and there's quite a large disaster there. Now of course, what you find is over the next 15 years there's a big cover up, and of course we've gone just watching Godzilla, and we know you know, there's more to it than meets the eye, but the big thing is about him trying to uncover it. And then and next thing you know, one thing leads to the other, and Godzilla shows up, and it follows Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's in the military, essentially trying to help deal with the issues of the monster or monsters as it may be, and follow him around. So yeah, it's all in all, that's the film in a nutshell. I've got to say, I was quite impressed with it. I think going into it, this was one that people could be easily disappointed with. And I know I've heard some reviews or preemptive comments, such as this could be this year's John Carter of Mars and stuff like that. So they thought it'd be an incredible flop. When in actual fact, I think in its first week, it doubled what it cost to make it worldwide, which, you know, it's already a resounding success and very popular. And I've heard very mixed reviews of it. Now, personally, I really enjoyed it. And I think the best way to kind of analyze it is look at the various complaints I've heard. Now, the first one is many people have said Bryan Cranston isn't in it enough. And I think the type of people who said that have gone to this film, obviously, maybe just for Bryan Cranston, not the fact that it's a movie, it's about Godzilla. It's not a film about Bryan Cranston. Now, he's a fantastic actor, and you know, I'd go watch anything with him in it. And this film's no exception. He does a very good job. But the fact of the matter is, the way the story plays out, he's in it for as long as he's in it for reasons. Now, I know I think the film and the script's written in a way that it lines up perfectly. But that's one common complaint, and I just think, quite frankly, if you think that, you're wrong. sit and have a look at the storyline and tell me how it could be any different to make it any better, and I may consider your argument. But to that point, I think that casting is fine, and that brings us to the point that I think what's done really well in this film, you know, it can be maybe a bit cheesy and a bit a bit cheesy at times and almost comical, but the fact of the matter is that the moments that are like that are the ones that are throwback to the old kind of Godzilla monster movies, where you had the man in a giant lizard suit fighting another man in a giant lizard suit in a fake paper mache town. And but I personally like those kind of old films, and I think this, to a degree, is quite true to those, but obviously with a modern twist. And the fact of the matter is Godzilla is the title of the film, and Godzilla is very much the title character. Godzilla is the main character, and it's like, even though it's a monster, it makes it very relatable. And the thing I think it's done fantastically is, if when you're watching it, if you look at the facial features and the animation of it, you can see it's in the eye. What they do is they have this animation act with its eyes. It's very interesting. You can see, in it, you have fear, anger, sadness, everything. And I know it sounds a bit corny to say that, but if you watch the film, it's a very good point. And the fact of the matter is, all characters and progressions within the storyline, I thought, made sense, and everything had a purpose. It wasn't just people there for the sake of it, in my opinion. And I think that's something Gareth Edwards, I've heard in interviews with him, he wanted to ensure that, if you look back on it, yeah, there's certain moments where I looked and went afterwards, oh yeah, well that was a bit silly. But during the film, I there's not one moment I kind of removed myself from the situation and thought, well, what's the point of this, and what's going on here? And be it, everything has a purpose throughout and a reason for being what it is. Again, I talk about Godzilla as the main character, and the facial expressions and the acting, the facial expressions of the eyes. The animation of this film is probably one of the best I've seen, as probably ever. And there's one scene in particular where it's a shot of Las Vegas, and obviously the Las Vegas Strip is very famous and well recognized. And it zooms out, and it's the buildings having been destroyed, and obviously quite a lot of parallel around. And what I think is just amazing about it is, when you see the destruction there that they've obviously had to animate, it just looks so realistic. It's fantastic. So the visuals are just amazing. And in fact, I would recommend anyone getting down to the cinema as soon as they can, purely just to have it on the big screen, because it's such a big film that I think just seeing it on a TV eventually wouldn't necessarily do it much justice. Now, on the back of the Bryan Cranston complaint, I think talking about another complaint is the fact that some people said Godzilla is not present enough throughout the film. Who's it seems to be complaining, things aren't present enough. But quite frankly, I think that's silly as well. You know, the reveal is very good. He appears early on. And what I like about the film is the way in which when he's there, he's there. What's done all too often in these types of films, I can't remember who said it. Someone's actually going to say it. It'll come to me eventually anyways, who said it. But it's like too often in these films, and I think a great example I can think of is the most recent King Kong, is they'll, in the first quarter of the film, they'll reveal a foot. In the second quarter, they'll reveal a hand. In the third, they'll reveal an eye. And in the final quarter of the film, they'll reveal the monster. But by that point, it's about to get destroyed and go into oblivion. And you're like, well, I've already seen this creature, but you don't get much screen time with it. Whereas when Godzilla is revealed, Godzilla was there. And it was almost shocking to me in a way. And the film was like, wow, that happened quick. But it was really good, and I enjoyed that. And with something this big, you know, it's a very much a throwback to being a child and loving dinosaurs or something like that. And you want as much time with the creature on screen as possible. Almost like, I think, like in Jurassic Park, you know, your favorite scenes is when the Tyrannosaurus Rex is there doing his thing. And that's exactly what you get here, and Gareth Edwards has given you with this movie is as much as the monster as possible. And I thought that was a really good move on his part. What I did is after just watching this film, actually, and this one kind of note I made to myself was I went and watched the 1954 version to kind of compare, listening to Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo's weekly film review. They're talking about how that was reissued. I guess the original Godzilla that the West got was called Godzilla King of the Monsters, and it was very much I don't know the best way to put it, an enlightened version, I suppose. It's a completely different film kind of the original, so it was much more lighthearted. Whereas the original, is, like I mentioned earlier, is very much this metaphor about war. And I think it was made 8 years after Hiroshima bombing, 8 or 9 years afterwards. And I think it's so powerful when you're watching it, and the final kind of message is simply, you know, and using Godzilla as a metaphor, is that even though we've, you know, spoiler alert, they destroy Godzilla, sorry about that, in the original, he, you know, the final line in Japanese anyways, it was subtitled, was like, there will always be more Godzillas out there if we keep having war to upset them and bring them out. And it was a very clear message, sort of like, you know, this creature is brought about by the world trying to destroy itself. And continue to do it, will bring destruction upon themselves. And I think what's really interesting in that one is the new one. The old one's obviously set in the East and Japan stuff. This one's the creatures are very much drawn to nuclear energy. And if you know your Godzilla films, obviously that's a big theme recurring through it. And that being said, the monsters are drawn to America, and it's kind of I like the clever commentary there, in the way that you see you know, the American presidents and stuff say they don't want the rest of the world to have, you know, giant nuclear weapons, however it's okay for them to have it themselves. And it sees this as a very subtle message, in the way that Godzilla is drawn to the place with the most nuclear weaponry as such, and that's the States, and causing havoc over there. So it's almost like, in a way, by trying to defend yourself, you've almost destroyed yourself all the same. And I think that's a, you know, it's kind of a little subtext and metaphors you can take from it. But I think that's a pretty cool thing about it when you look at it that way and analyze it in that way. All in all, though, when it comes down to it, this is a film about battling monsters. And a big thing about it is, I won't lead you and how they get there, but they've given Godzilla quite a worthy adversary in this movie. And and that makes it really interesting. So what you want to see is giant creatures battling. Let's be honest, if you go to this, you want to see destruction, big set pieces, and just clear havoc. And it very much delivers in that front. What I think it does very well, at the same time, it's not just havoc for havoc's sake. It very much has a relevant story intertwined that I think was very very satisfying overall, and left me at the end quite pleased with the outcomes and the results of everything. I think the film clocks in at about just over 2 hours, if I remember correctly. I'm just looking now. 123 minutes, yeah, so about 2 hours, give or take, or about seven if you get to cinema from the start of the adverts. but it didn't feel long to me at all. It was over so quick. I do believe, actually, the film did so well in the first week of the box office, or 2 weeks, they've already greenlighted a sequel, and I'm actually really looking forward to it. I hope Gareth Edwards gets to direct it again, and I really look forward to seeing what they can do, because I must say the film, you know, left me wanting more, and I plan on going to see it again if I could fit it in amongst the other movies in a similar film review. But yeah, so that kind of sums up in a nutshell. I think, I saw this in 2D, and I'd recommend, you know, getting in and doing the same. It's quite a dark film, so I imagine it could be hard to watch in 3, but I've not heard many complaints about those who have seen it in 3D. So I just say, if you're going to go see a film this next weekend, go and see Godzilla, if that's your type of thing. But obviously, I want you to go into it, making sure it's not... You're not just going to see it for Bryan Cranston. You're going to see it for, you know, this, the kind of sci-fi monster movie, which, let's be honest, you know, everyone loves those old clips of, I think you get many what's the word I'm thinking of? Many parodies of it and stuff like that. And stuff such as the Intergalactic music video by Beastie Boys and that type of thing, where you have, like I say, the grown men dressed up as monsters destroying papier-mâché buildings, and this, what they've just upped the game and made it a very real-looking monster. Well, I must say, actually, Godzilla looks just so much like the original one, and I think that was fantastic. And that he comes out, if I think about the Matthew Broderick version, where it looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, I think... this one where he comes out and he looks like the kind of cartoon drawing of Godzilla you do and the man in the suit, but obviously a real version. I think that's brilliant, with the big stomach, kind of the stubby feet and the pug-like face, you know, and I think that's the thing. He looks like a dog and that makes it very relatable. So back to my original point. I think it's definitely worth a watch. Go out there and see it. And like I said, it's at the end of the day, it's a great kind of action sci-fi adventure with a fairly entertaining story rolled up into it. Obviously, not for too young of a child, but I'd say, in my experience, probably 12 and 13 up. I don't know what the rating is, actually. That's another point. I probably shouldn't be throwing recommendations out there that are wrong. Check the rating first before you take a little child to it, just in case. Don't do it necessarily on my recommendation. But yeah, get to the cinema this weekend and see it. So yeah, that's Godzilla, again, directed by Gareth Edwards, starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston. Based on the 1954 original. Okay, so I guess that moves us on to my film of the week. So I'll be back in just one moment. After watching Godzilla, I was thinking to myself about kind of old school action and adventure movies that I used to enjoy as a child. So I saw one in particular, which is available on Netflix right now, called Conan the Barbarian. And no, I don't mean the 2011 remake, I mean the 1982 original, which has Arnie in his prime, and of course, James Earl Jones. What a voice that man has. So go out and catch it out. Conan the Barbarian, available on Netflix. That's my film of the week. Did I just say catch it out?
Professor?
You're gonna find this hard to believe.
I was sent here for you.
From the future?
50 years from now.
Could you give me that one more time, please?
Stay with me.
In the beginning, the Sentinels were just targeting mutants. Then they began targeting everyone. They've come a long way to guide us, to bring us together. The X-Men, we need your help.
Tell whoever it was that sent you, I'm busy.
The person who sent me was you.
Ho. So that's X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, I must admit, I've done something wholeheartedly unprofessional. So it's a good thing I'm not getting paid for this. Whee! Unless someone wants to pay me, then I'm completely available for you. Just give me a shout and let me know. Contact me on facebook.com/thebubbegins. But back to the unprofessional thing I did. I would see X-Men Days of Future Past on Saturday. Now, normally, with this review thing, I've got this little book, and maybe one day I'll post it on Facebook. And it's like a film journal. It's a really good book. It's a nice brand of moleskin, and it's got bits in it. It's arranged alphabetically, and I go to it. So I go down to X, and I'd write X-Men Days of Future Past normally, and it's got different things to fill out, so like telling the original language, year, genre, awards, starring quotes, opinion notes. But I normally just fill out the way I want. And this book is the basis of most of my reviews. So as I said, normally I go see a film. So let's say, for example, the review I did. Let me flick to. Oh, let me find the first review for you. So can you hear me? That's me flicking through it. So I flick through the book and let's see. Get the right. Let's see the first thing I come to. I'm just. it's particularly empty, even though I've seen a fair few films recently. Okay. I've come to G. So the Grand Budapest Hotel. So I've written, you know, director Wes Anderson, The Royal Tenenbaums, Life Aquatic, Ralph Fiennes, F. Murray Abraham, you know, different actors, Adrian Brody, Willem Dafoe. I've written, you know, various comments. It's subtly funny throughout, such as The Ladder and The Lobby Boy. You did lots of little things. I can't remember all. Yeah, I laughed throughout. Thought the story was interesting, intriguing, kept me interested. And there's elements of a mystery film. So you can see there's lots of little notes that I won't go into. This is a review of X-Men, not of the Grand Budapest Hotel. Although, funny enough, I don't know if I did. I don't know if I actually did a podcast on the Grand Budapest Hotel, which I must say quickly, I really enjoyed. And I can't wait till it comes out on DVD or is available on any of a number of streaming services. They're all pretty good. So if we come back to X-Men, Days of Future Past. I came home on Saturday night and got my book out and my pen, fully prepared to write in it about this film. And I bet you're sitting there tapping your... get on with it. Yeah, no. You might want to hear this. So I get home and I open my book to, you know, I flick through over to X, and I write down X-Men Days of Futures Past. I put my book down, start playing PlayStation, and I forgot to fill it out. So what I'm going to do here is, like I said, something wholeheartedly unprofessional and something that I don't normally do on these podcasts, and that's wing it. And actually, I'm going to do wing it for a bit. So let's talk about X-Men Days of Future Past after my 2-3 minute rant about how I came unprepared for this one. X-Men. Obviously, it's part of the Marvel franchise. So the same people who created Thor, not the films necessarily, but I mean the comics. You know, Thor, Avengers, Iron Man, excuse me, Captain America, so on and so on. You know, Black Widow, all the sorts, the Hulk, Spider-Man. So there's a lot of these films around recently, but X-Men has never been one that's really resonated with me. And don't get me wrong, I used to watch the cartoons as a kid. You know, I quite enjoyed that. But the films, they never really captured me, which is a shame because, you know, with the cast list they've had throughout, there's so many really, really good noteworthy actors within them that it's like, why isn't this something I've ever found that interesting and ever want to watch? You know, in particular, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. You know, you put them in a film and that's a winner straight away. But of course, you have Hugh Jackman, you know, Halle Berry's in the originals and stuff. But it's something that's just never really resonated with me. So I kind of, I wouldn't say I went to this begrudgingly, but I more or less just, you know, say, you know, it's a big release this week. I'm going to bite the bullet and go for the review so I can let you guys know what I think. So, X-Men Days of Future Past. Now, again, I'm it's a bit hypocritical of me to say they don't resonate with me because I've not seen the most recent X-Men films, film, which was it X-Men First Class, the one that came before this? I think it was. I've not seen that, but I've been kind of told that they sort of follow on and I got the sort of picture. And where it picks up is in a world which is, I guess, well in the future within the X-Men. And the Sentinel bots are essentially, you know, destroying the Earth and not only going after mutants. Now, if you know anything about Marvel, and it's not a spoiler to say that the Sentinel bots are a very common enemy, and they're craved solely to destroy the superhumans as a threat to humanity. But in fact, in this instance, they've turned on everyone, not just the superhumans, but not just the mutants, as they're kindly referred to. So it's set initially in the future, and the fact that they want to send Wolverine to the past to change history and make sure the Sentinels can't take over and destroy everyone. And you know, as you heard in the soundbite a minute ago, the main initial onset story is that Wolverine has to convince a young Professor X and so on, you know, the various other X-Men or future X-Men of the situation, that he's been sent back by them, and obviously that would sound like pure madness. But that's really the basis for the film. Now, as I said, it's got a great cast list, to name some, you know, Hugh Jackman, James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Jennifer Lawrence, Halle Berry, Nicholas Hoult, and Ellen Page, and so on. You can just keep listing characters out. You know, there's so many, you know, good actors in this cast, and that's but you can't overstate that. Actually, it doesn't feel like just random cameos. It's not like the equivalent of an Anchorman film, let's say, where you just have many random characters kind of show up and disappear. They all seem to be here for a reason, even if it is the equivalent of a small cameo. That sounded really contradictory. So what would I say? Yeah, I went in again with low expectations. The films have never really resonated with me. The first thing I've got to say is, if I'm going into a film that I'm not particularly keen on seeing, normally the first thing that I'm very wary of is the length. This film clocks in about 2 hours and 10 minutes, which isn't a short movie. You know, it's typical of kind of blockbusters nowadays to average about 2.5 hours. So it is a bit shorter than a normal blockbuster, but it's still got some length to it. The film didn't seem long to me at all. And that's probably the biggest compliment I could pay it, because if it's a film I don't really want to see, it'll generally seem far too long, and I'll be sitting there tapping my watch going, you know, when is this thing going to end? And in actual fact, I did had to, you know, I had to nip up to the toilet in the middle of the movie. I checked the time and I was like, wow, I've been sitting in the cinema for nearly an hour and a half. I would have never have guessed that. And I think that's probably the best compliments I can pay this movie, in terms of it doesn't feel like a long film. I think, and again, I don't know which characters were in the last X-Men film. You know, that's some ignorance on my part. I could have done some more research, but I think everyone's, you know, quite casted very well. And I particularly like Hugh Jackman. I think he's a good actor. And I think Wolverine, of all the X-Men, is definitely my favorite. So the film is very much centered around him. As is, you know, I think many of the films, which is good, you know, that's what people want. But it's interesting to look into the past, and I very much, seeing the adverts, thought this film would be one of those where it's kind of like jumping back and forth, and it'd be really kind of overwhelming and confusing. But in actual fact, it's so very simple, and I think it's done really well. And it feels like it's set in a very finite time period, that it's not over ambitious. That's it. Yeah, I was going to say over enthusiastic, but that's not it at all. So yeah, it's not kind of over ambitious in terms of the time frame it covers and stuff like that. So I think it is very well made in that way. And the fact of the matter is, I enjoyed it. And whereas I've not really enjoyed the early X-Men films, I didn't find them kind of intriguing and interesting enough. I think the first one was alright, but thereafter I didn't really enjoy it. And having seen this, it's kind of made me want to go back and watch the one before. I know it's kind of the cardinal sin, jumping straight into the second film in a series and skipping the first, although I don't really know where this sits in the series, because it's the same characters from the early movies, but it's I don't know. I guess it's like the fifth or something like that, technically. But I say it's kind of the new age characters. But who knows? X-Men fans out there will know better than me, so maybe I'm not the foremost authority to be judging on this. Okay, so yeah, so that's X-Men Days of Future Past. Really short, kind of simple review. Sorry about the unpreparedness. And also, I guess you got a little bonus of the Grand Budapest Hotel there, amongst other things. So yeah, that's X-Men Days of Future Past. If I had to put X-Men and Godzilla head-to-head, I'd say Godzilla edges it, but they're both pretty good. I have a feeling that if you're kind of unsure about Godzilla, go ahead and see X-Men. But I would personally pick the former over the latter. But yeah, two good films this week, which is fantastic. I don't actually know what I'm gonna go see this week. I tell you what, I'll log into the old internet right now and have a look. And I think if you have any recommendations, you want to get any comments, make sure to log onto the Facebook page, facebook.com. I'm getting all tongue twisted here, so let's stop. Set one, two, okay, and facebook.com/ The Boat Begins, and you can add your comments there and let me know what's on and what's worth seeing. There's a few that I think, you know, are probably worth checking out, and I don't know which ones I'll be going to see yet. I think it's going to have to be a double header this weekend, to be honest, because I'm fairly busy this week. I'm currently doing a radio show on KHR, so Kettering Hospital Radio. So that's some volunteer, more music stuff, not chat. Okay, so there's Blended with Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. That could be Bad Neighbors. I'm not too keen on, so I probably won't be going to see that. But send in your reviews, and they might get read out. Postman Pat the movie, not too keen person. It's not really up my alley. The Lego movie's still on. That might be worth a watch. Ooh, here's one. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Now, I really enjoyed the last Planet of the Apes films. I love the original Planet of the Apes films. Not too keen on the Mark Wahlberg reboot. God. I'm just struggling to get my words out today. But yeah, it's that one I'm really looking forward to. I think James Franco did great in the original. There's advanced preview, so I may try and get to one of those to kind of give you guys some opinions. That's the 17th of June. Maleficent's coming out soon, which is, I think that's tomorrow. Yeah, it's actually out tomorrow, and that's Angelina Jolie Disney film, the untold story of Disney Sleeping Beauty. So that's worth checking out. And there's a few children's films still. Oh, Rio 2, Tarzan, you go see those on weekends and kind of matinees. Funny enough, there's a Take Two Grand Budapest Hotel at Northampton Cineworld on Thursday 29th, and I gave that a fairly good review earlier. Now, here's the one I was looking for, Edge of Tomorrow. I may try and get to this weekend if possible. So it's the new Tom Cruise film. It looks pretty interesting. So I guess he's caught time in a loop battling aliens or something like that. So it looks a bit confusing from the advert, but it could be a really interesting one. Also, in A Million Ways to Die in the West. So I think those might be the next two I'll try and get to, is The Edge of Tomorrow and A Million Ways to Die in the West. A Million Ways to Die in the West is obviously looks like a bit of a slapstick comedy, which is kind of my favorite type of comedy. So hopefully they'll be right up my road. And who wouldn't want a voice just like Seth MacFarlane? So if you get the chance, you should check out, he has like an album in his kind of I can't think of any examples of his like off the top of my head because I'm terrible, but yeah, it's worth listening. It's something else. So yeah, so that's what's coming up next, The End of Tomorrow and Edge of Tomorrow and A Million let's try this again. The Edge of Tomorrow and A Million Ways to Die in the West. I know it's confusing me, there seems to be a lag on my headphones all of a sudden. So I'm hearing things a few seconds after I say it, which is muddling me, so I must apologize. Anyway, I've gone on long enough now. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Just to recap, Godzilla and X-Men, Days of Futures Past, both definitely worth a watch. And of course, my film of the week, which is available on Netflix, is Conan the Barbarian. Be sure to check out my Facebook page, /TheBoatBegins, and let me know the films you've been seeing and any comments you may have, or any recommendations for that matter. Otherwise, this has been A Bigger Boat Presents Tireless Film Review, and I look forward to catching you again in the next week or two. Cheers. Bye.